In the name of Jesus this morning. For our message, I'm going to continue with the theme of talking about great things that are kind of almost impossible for us to attain all the time, but we need to strive for. Title I have is Unconditional Love. Obviously, we all know that as Christians, we need to have love for mankind, for our fellow man. We'll start off with a story here. Andrew Jackson was the 7th president of the United States and one of the most popular presidents ever. After 2 terms, he left office with greater popularity than when he entered. He is one of the most interesting presidents to study. For the record, would indicate that he had no business being president. He was left an orphan at the age of 14 because of the horrors of the Revolutionary War. He had a rough life from the start and never did learn to speak or write correct English. He was unrefined and uneducated, and he had a violent temper. Actually, he was involved in over 100 duels. And I think he killed Charles Dickens in a duel. Anyway, all the presidents up to Jackson had been from the social aristocracy and were wealthy and highly educated. One thing Jackson was really good at, however, was hating. He hated the British for killing his family. He hated the Indians, for he had seen the massacre many families. He hated his political and personal enemies. He was divorced, and his enemies tried to use his former wife in attacking him. I think it was his wife at that time. Anyway, yeah, he fought duels over her. Jackson was a fighter all his life, and that is how he became a popular hero. He led his riflemen to victory in the Battle of New Orleans, with only 8 of his men killed, while the enemy lost 700 dead and 1,400 wounded. This man of battle, driven by hatred, became a Christian later in his life. And after confessing Christ as Savior, he was baptized and joined the church. And I didn't, only this article later in my studies, I didn't really have time to look into what church he was part of and all that. But be that as it may, he spent a great deal of time in study of the Bible, and he died with a deep commitment to Christ and the Word of God. But he confessed that his toughest battle as a Christian was to love his enemies. This is easy to understand when you think of a man who had been conditioned from childhood to hate. He thrived on hate, and hate is what motivated him and made him the hero of the masses. He was an expert hater and only had a short part of his life to learn to love. And so he was only an amateur at love. Some of this reminded me of the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul spent a big part of his life hating other people, being zealous, persecuting them. And then later, but Paul had plenty, enough time to show his capacity for love, though, definitely. Jesus wants us to be real professionals at love. But unfortunately, even those of us who have not been conditioned by a lifetime of hate find it hard at times to rise above amateur level. Sometimes we are able to do it, and other times we are overwhelmed with feelings of anger, bitterness, resentment, and that the best that we can do is feel guilty because we fall so short of this ideal. And we continually need to repent and strive to do better. God specializes in the impossible. But we have a tough enough time trying to be effective on the level of what is possible. You know, we constantly battle even what is possible. It's only through Christ that we can attain this impossible level, that this goal before us to love our neighbor as ourself. And it goes on beyond that as well. Even this can be an enormous effort. We even struggle at times to love our loved ones. And God himself is not always easy to love either, is he? You know, we do not understand his ways, and we sometimes suspect that we could do something better than what he is doing. And sometimes maybe we even resent him for situations he allows into our life. No love comes easy at all times. This love for one's enemies really goes against the grain of our human nature. It does not seem to fit reality to have this kind of love. It's kind of like trying to taste sound or hear color. It doesn't make sense. We might sometimes have this thought of one quote I read, somebody on this topic of love or hate, anger, said, "What good is an enemy if you cannot enjoy hating him? There are some people you just love to hate, and therefore you would hate to love them." In our humanity, I think we can relate to that. There's that part of us that has to be continually put to death, those attitudes of hate, and to be converted continually to love. The convicted prisoner was brought before the judge for sentencing. "I find you guilty on 26 counts, the judge said, "and has sentenced you to 5 consecutive years on each count, making a total of 130 years. The prisoner was shocked and he said, "I can't serve that much time." The judge responded compassionately, "I know, so you don't have to serve the whole 130 years. Just do as much as you can." I think we understand that Jesus, as our God, as our judge, wants us to love on his level. And if we are totally yielded to his spirit, we can actually be channels of that kind of love. But I think, in fact, we are not very often, or at least not often enough, yielded to this extent. The ideal is not lowered to our level, but it is kept at his level of perfection. And his word to us is, do as much as you can. And like I said before, it's not of our own strength that we can ever attain this perfection, but it's only by his love, Holy Spirit working through us. We know our actions should show the love of God, because God first loved us, and we are to love others like God loves us. God gave us 2 commandments. Number 1, to love God with all our hearts. Or I should clarify that. God gave us 2 action commandments. To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. And then number 2, to love others like you love yourself. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So we must have this vertical relationship first with God, and then that horizontal relationship or horizontal love to those that we come in contact with. Everything hinges on God being first in our lives. It's not an option, it's a commandment. He doesn't suggest we love him like that. We are commanded to love God like that. Now I want to look at some motives we might have for showing love, having love. Do we love God and help others just so that we look good? I think at times that might be the case. It helps us to look good to others if we show love and compassion to those around us. Number two, do we love God and help just because it is a moral thing to do? I think we know many people, or some people at least, that is why they show the love that they do. Maybe they are quite effective in showing love. Maybe they are quite consistent. At times, we are not sure how they're able to do that without having a relationship with God or with Christ. But it's because they have trained themselves, disciplined to lead a good moral life. But is that ever good enough for us? A good enough motive? Because we feel we have to? Do we love as long as we don't get hurt? You know, we can also fall into that trap of showing love maybe to those that won't betray us, won't stab us in the back, and as long as we keep our distance from certain people, we can show love. Is that a motive? Do we love and help because we have a heart of compassion? Is that our motive? Because we truly care about people. Do we love someone just because God has said so? Matthew 23 talks about this. We won't turn to that, but Jesus talking about hypocrisy there. We must experience and understand God's love before we are able to give others his love. If we haven't experienced God's love, any love that we show to others is going to be secondary, or it's not going to be as complete as it needs to be. You have to experience his love. Regardless of who we are or who we are not, we have to experience his love. Regardless of what we have done or what we have not done. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of us were sinners. All of us recipients of his love toward us. He died for us. Jesus loves us. There is nothing we can do or not do to make him love us more or less. God loves because it's his nature to love. God is love. This unconditional love that God has for us isn't easy for our human nature to comprehend. We are, by default, we think in terms of earning and receiving based on performance. And God's unconditional love for us is an act of generosity and should motivate us to love him back with a grateful heart of worship. And I think that's why there's so much misunderstanding of God's love by people. It's because it's almost impossible for us to understand this unconditional love. We think in the terms that love has to be earned or something. Steps have to be taken so that God can love us. But God loves the person, not the sin. Unconditional love demands we love God first. Only He can provide strength and ability to give this same love to another person. Like I said before, whenever we try to generate this of ourselves, our own strength, it will fail, fall short. God loves unconditionally, and nothing changes His love for us. And this is important that we understand this. If we feel that we have to earn God's love, we will probably love others with the same concept, that they must earn our love before we will love them like Jesus taught. And I think sometimes maybe we revert to that concept or that thought that people need to earn our love, our respect. And maybe that's why we often, I shouldn't say often, but at times doubt God's love for us, because we can't understand how He can love us when we know our own failings, our own shortcomings. Unconditional love is caring about someone without limitation or conditions and doing something to make someone happy without any thought for what we might get for ourselves. This type of love is rare. It's uncommon for us to receive kindness without strings attached. This kind of love includes risk and a willingness to fail as we give ourselves over with vulnerability. And we all understand the trepidation we have of making ourselves vulnerable to other people. And when we make ourselves vulnerable and we show love to someone, we understand that maybe this love will be reciprocated, maybe it won't, maybe it will be appreciated, our acts of kindness. But their response to that should not really have a bearing on our love for them. If we have Christ's love, then it won't. We must put our own needs and pride away and do what's best for someone else, regardless of how we feel. It requires staying close to someone, not judging or punishing them, but loving without conditions. And again, it's because of who they are, not what they are or their actions. Each person is worthy of love. Maybe their actions sometimes make us not like them very much, just like our actions often probably don't make us very likable to God or to others even, but God still loves us. Loves our potential. We need to love others and what they can become as well. This type of love has the power to heal, to bring people closer together, and to create relationships beyond our capacity to imagine. This unconditional love obligates us to tell people the truth with gentle, kind communication. Take the time now to read 1 Corinthians 13. Probably we're thinking it would talk about this. read this chapter now and just look at some of these things. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, I'll use the word love here, but it says charity, same thing. I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. You know, we can be so diligent in our walk and so wise, prophecy, understanding, knowledge, great faith, but if it's all done without love, we are empty. We are nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. Let's stop reading there. Let's just notice all these things that love does. It suffers long, has patience with other people. It will cause us to wish other people good, not be envious, not lifting ourselves up, helping us to behave rightly to others, not to be offended or provoked. Anyway, the list goes on. We must put our needs and pride away and do what's best for someone else, regardless of how we feel. It requires of us to not be judging, it says here, but to be long-suffering. It requires, this type of love has the power to heal. This unconditional love obligates us to tell people the truth with gentle, kind communication. If we don't have love for someone, maybe we'll resort to flattery or to not say things sometimes that people need to hear to help someone. But if we have true, genuine, unconditional love, we will in kindness be honest, truthful, and do what we can to help others in their walk with Christ. It means standing by them through difficulties. As Christians, we have a responsibility to show our love daily to others, even if at times we don't like them, like I said earlier. We don't like the decisions they're making or things that maybe we think should be done differently. We still love them because we see them as Christ sees them. The benefits of loving others this way include genuine connections, personal transformation, and empowering others to step out of their comfort zone and make a difference. It can be amazing what our confidence, our love to someone can do in their lives, as we've probably all experienced ourselves when someone loved us in this way, the difference it has made in our lives. when we love like Christ does, it makes it possible for people to see and feel a genuine and intentional love for them. Let's look at some of the things that will be involved in this love. One is forgiveness. These are all subjects in themselves, but all part of genuine love for others. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling, which takes time and prayer. Jesus has forgiven us. If he forgives us for every sin, we need to forgive ourselves, first of all, also, which I think can be hard to do, and maybe at times is part of our difficulty then with interpersonal relationships as well. If we can't forgive ourselves, how can we ever forgive others? Or it will at least affect our love for others and our forgiveness for them. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Another one is sacrifice, obviously. We must put our own needs, wants, and desires aside and focus on other people's needs and wants. And it's one thing to put someone else's needs ahead of our desires, but it's entirely another thing to put their wants ahead of our needs. I think if we have genuine love, we will endeavor to do that. That is holiness personified. Some practical examples of sacrifice. Just the thing is letting someone go ahead of us in line, or deferring to other people, deciding not to argue with someone's opinion, helping someone in need, using your raise, the money of your raise or bonus for the kingdom instead of on ourselves. Sacrifice requires a positive attitude and an obedient heart. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And again, as we noticed on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, also includes these thoughts as well, to live a life of service, to be holy, try to be acceptable unto God. Also praying. Praying for people is an act of unconditional love, especially when we pray for our enemies. This allows us to lift others up to God in a positive manner, asking God to bless people and work in their hearts and lives according to his plan and purposes. Matthew 5, verses 43 and on, says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." We should be peacemakers, recognizing every person has a purpose and needs to be treated with dignity and respect. We may never realize or truly know the impact we have in this world. We can never give too much, love too much, or care too much. Let's daily ask God what we can do for him by reaching out to others with unconditional love. John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." This is how people will know, not by whatever we may say or things that we write, or but by how we show our love to others. Show if we are his followers, his disciples. There isn't one person that we ever meet, that we ever have a conversation with, whom Jesus doesn't love. And we actively love those around us, putting their needs before our own. We are taking the same amazing love that Jesus poured out to us and becoming a living, breathing, beautiful display for humanity. If we want to represent Jesus or show Jesus to the world, then that's what we will do. A few more verses, John chapter 3, verse 16. Probably the most quoted, most well-known verse about love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Also Galatians 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for us, sweet-smelling savor." And then also verse 25 of the same chapter. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." This complete giving of himself for each one of us is an example for us how we also need to give ourselves. And just to summarize, closing here, know that God loves people, not their sin. He loves us because of the potential for us to serve him, because we are created in his image. We also need to love others, each other, because God has created them just like us. I think the best way for us to understand this is for those of us that have children. You know, we love our children, and at times they don't understand this love that we have for them. Especially when we think of early teen years, maybe our frustration sometimes is not for them as children, as or who they are, but maybe it's because of their dumb decisions. And we need to learn to portray that we love continue. Nothing that they can do helps or makes us not love them or love them less, but it's the acts that we hate, just like God hates sin. He does not hate the sinner. He loves the sinner. Like I said in the beginning, these are ideals that we continually need to press ourselves toward. We all probably fail at times in showing the love, living the love like we need to. But it's not an option. If we are truly disciples, children of God, we will love unconditionally. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, grant me the pleasant period of the closing service. We're so thankful for for your love to us. Jesus, coming in through his great love for all of us, that he died. Once again, that he paid this ransom for us. And we have a hard time sometimes understanding how he could love us, our failings and things that we have done in the past. Help us to be able to forgive ourselves also when we see that God has forgiven us and taken those things away. Just pray that we can also then turn around and show this unconditional love, share that with mankind, fellow human beings. We understand that there are so many times we can do better, and we can show greater love for those around us, those that irritate us, maybe those that continually reject our love for them, and help us not to take this personally, but continue to be Christians that we need to be, to sacrifice, to pray, to forgive, and to live out what you have called us to do. Just pray now that you would help us as we go from here, and give us strength and courage to face tomorrow, to face the future, and also as we look around this world, the conditions of the world, that we would not fear, but put our trust in you and knowing that you are ever walking before us and you have a plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.